Are you ready? You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready, bro. Let's get it.
Okay, well, let me fix my last little mic. Check one, check two. Okay, well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Uncredited. My name is Solomon Lovejoy. I will be your host throughout this series and throughout the season until I maybe one day decide to fire myself. Through the course of this series, if you've been listening to the episodes, you know that I talk to uncredited actors, writers, directors, creatives who are all just still building a name for themselves, just all at different points in their careers, just trying to talk to different people. So whether it's like you've been in LA, you want to hear other actors' perspectives, or you're not from LA at all and you're trying to come over and see kind of what people are actually like as they're working up, then this is the podcast for you.
Yeah.
Today I have Darren Barber. Darren,
yo, what's up?
Welcome
everybody
to the podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me, Solomon.
Of course.
This is dope, man. This is dope to be back in the mic and on the podcast. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for coming out. I'm actually really excited for this podcast because I actually have, this will be the longest I've ever actually talked to you.
Yeah, this is like our legit, like I'll say, like first real conversation.
Yeah, 100%. We met, I guess, pretty much like a few days ago at DeShira's premiere party for 30 Days of Heartbreak. Shout out to DeShira. Shout out to 30 Days of Heartbreak.
Shout out.
Good premiere. It was fun. There was Hennessy Punch, and I had like two cups, and I was sitting in the back watching this thing. Ooh. Like, wow, I'm really going through it right now.
That Hennessy Punch was lit. It was good. It was Hennessy, and then we had mimosas.
Mimosas, too.
The mimosas was really good as well.
It was good. It was very proper. The reason, it was really funny because at the end of the premiere, they had sliders and a whole bunch of pizza and leftover pizza. And one of the hosts, she's like, yeah, like if you want to take extra pizza with you, take some slices, take the box. And usually when people say that, it's kind of like half joking.
Yeah.
But I looked over and you actually had an entire box of pizza.
Oh,
that
yeah.
You were taking out of the premiere. And I was like, that is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, yeah, man. She said take it. So I was like, I'm going to take one. I was going to take one. You know, I brought it back from the roommates, you know, and I didn't have to cook for the next 2 days because I had a whole slice of pizza.
That's true. I was thinking after, I was in my car, I was like, I should have taken the whole box. Like, I don't know what I was doing.
Shut up, bro. It was free. Bro, the best things in life are free.
That's facts.
Yeah.
So yeah, because this is like the longest I've ever talked to you, there's like, we can go wherever we want to go in this podcast, but usually I just start with, where are you from, and how did you get started in acting?
Ooh, all right, man. So, I am from Minnesota, guys. Born and raised in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Grew up over North Minneapolis. Went to a school called Ascension. It was a Catholic school. Went
Ascension.
From kindergarten to eighth grade, and went to a school in the suburbs. So, we moved to the suburbs area. It's called Plymouth.
Mm-hmm.
And went to Armstrong High School, then went to college, and then... So that ties into my career. So I started, I will say, almost 10 years ago. It's been a decade, bro.
Okay, word.
It's been a long time. And how I started, it was like, it like fell in my lap. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like something that was always inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember how it all began was like, I just recently stopped playing basketball. And basketball was a big thing in my life. I love sports. That's huge thing that I still do today is play basketball. And I just love entertaining people. And my older brother, who's a director, he needed some help on his sets. And he used to make a lot of music videos with some artists and all that stuff. And I used to help him out. I used to be the light guy.
Okay.
And so that was like my first taste of being on set. And I just remember one day I was on the set. I was like 16 at the time. And I was holding the light. And I was watching the performers perform, and I was like, yo, like, I could do what they're doing. You know, like, why am I behind the camera holding this light? I was just remember just holding light, little kid holding light around all these adults. And I was like, I could do what they're doing. And then I slowly started getting into the film industry after that. The next video my brother shot, I was in it, and I was only in it for like 0.3 seconds.
Exactly 0.3.
Exactly 0.3 seconds, guys. Like, you go back to my brother's music videos, and you're going to see a guy with a mask on. My face wasn't even showing, but I ran past the screen. That was it.
That's real.
That was my first one. First little gig that I remember. And I always had inside of me to write skits. And I used to make YouTube skits, and I used to make Vine. This was when Vine was popping.
Rest in peace to Vine.
R.I.P. R.I.P. No, Vine was lit. It really gave me a chance to like showcase my talent showcase, my personality and my creative abilities. And like I said, I was just slowly getting into film. I didn't fully commit to it until college. And I remember I was like, after classes, I would go to the library and I would be like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got all these people asking me, what do you want to do? What are you going to do in the next 5 years? What are you going to do? And I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know my purpose at the time. And I used to take personality tests and I used to take career tests. And they all came back and was like, yeah, it's a good pay for the jobs that I could have done. But I was like, that's not going to be fun. Right. It's like something inside me is like, that's not it, man. And like I said, like deep down inside, I always wanted to be an actor, but it was just very hard for me to fully commit to it because you always hear the negatives as, oh, like all actors struggle or all entertainers struggle or whatever, this, that. You know, it was a lot of fear that I had to overcome before committing to becoming an actor. And I remember I was in my favorite teacher's class in college, and she was one of the nicest teachers. I was sitting in the back row, and I was looking at her, and I was looking at the books, and the door was open, and something strongly inside of me told me to walk out the room and never come back. And I was like, whoa, like, I can't do that. My mom paid for this. FAFSA. Yeah. You know, and I was like, man, I can't do that, man. But like I said, it was like something like was just pulling me to leave school. And typically you stay in school and graduate, you know, that's the thing to do.
Yeah.
But for me, that wasn't the case. And I always knew like school, that was it. That was it for me. And fast forward throughout that semester, after the first semester, my sophomore year, I was still technically a freshman because I was behind in credits.
Right.
Yeah, I was struggling.
Just taking like a half class every like 3 months. Just like chipping along.
I think I had 13 credits that semester.
That's rough.
Oh, yeah. 13 credits and I was failing communication class.
Tough.
Man, it's crazy. Like I failed communication class twice.
That's tough too.
Yeah. The same class, y'all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, that's another reason why I should have become an actor because I can't even do communication class. But at the end of the semester, I had another talk with my counselor. I remember going there and I signed up for classes. But on that drive home, it was 45 minutes away from my mom's house. Mm-hmm. That drive home after signing up for classes was like off, silence. And I was like, all right, I got to move on. I got to do something, you know. Mm-hmm. And I went back. I finished dropped out of college and pursued acting 100%. And that was one of the best decisions I ever made. I don't regret it. Yeah.
That's so real.
And later, 2017, that year, I booked 3 background gigs with the same director. But then the 4th gig I got was my first lead role. And then from there on, it's the rest is history.
That's a beautiful answer. That's so sweet. Yeah. I feel like, I have a few things to ask.
Okay.
First things first. I had like a similar kind of experience in college where like, I was just like going through it. Like I knew I didn't like my school. I didn't like what I was studying, like any of that.
Yeah.
And there was like same thing. I had the same thing where I was just like, I should just leave. Like I should just drop out. Like I know like whatever I get at the end of this, like isn't what I actually want to do. Like my main thing is like writing, directing.
Yeah.
My main thing. But even same thing where I was like having those kind of like internal dialogues where I was like, I'd really want to like leave this class. Like I would be sitting in class, like writing lines of like dialogue in like the margins of like my notebook as like a real like high school movie where I'm just like, this would be a good line. And I'm just not paying attention like at all. But same thing. I was like, but my mom's like helping me pay for this. And then I'd be like guilty, you know, I ended up finishing, but same thing. There was like that moment where I was like, I kind of wish that I had like, in hindsight, I wish I had like the balls, like the bravery, whatever you want to call it, just to be like, nah, like fuck that. Like I'm dropping out. I'm calling my own number and I'm just going to do something else and just make it work and just kind of put my back against the wall that way.
Yeah.
Like full props to you for actually just being like, you know what? Like I'm calling my own number and like I'm leaving. Like that is what it is.
I appreciate that, bro. Sure. It was hella risky.
Were you scared? How scared were you?
Oh, terrified, bro. Like I said, like there's a lot of fears and there's a lot of things that I thought about that can go wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, like this can go absolutely wrong. I could still be living in my mom's house for the next 5 years or... Mm-hmm. At the time, I believe I applied to a dishwashing job, so I was a dishwasher. So I was like, man, I'm finna just be a dishwasher for a while, man. But I just had faith. I kept believing and I kept trusting God that things were gonna work out. And lo and behold, it like things did happen, you know, like I started booking gigs and I started figuring it out as I went. And that's one thing about me. Like I just been adjusting to whatever environment I'm in and making the most out of each and every opportunity. And then that leads to another opportunity. So
100%.
Yeah.
100%. What do you think? This is something I hear, like, because I talk to actors, like, kind of regularly, you know what I mean? So, like, this is something, like, I hear about that, like, again, same thing for writers. I hear about that initial fear so much, that initial fear of, like, making that full commitment, or even, like, actors talking about, like, I acted in this, I acted in that, I acted in this, but I still don't, like, consider myself an actor. Mm. Like, what do you think that initial fear, like, comes from? Is it like, a personal thing of like, am I really gonna go do this acting? Is it more of like societal, like what are my parents gonna think? Or like, because that's what I hear all the time, is just this initial like commitment fear, the fear of fully like diving into the pool, you know what I mean?
I think it is for me. I was always being told like acting's not a real job.
Yeah
being a creator is not a real job. So yeah. I'm like, dang, I want to make my mom proud, you know. And I think that's what it was. It's like, dang, this is not a real job, you know. People are gonna laugh at you. Even to this day, like I tell people I'm an actor, and they like their face just like, oh, you're an actor.
Right.
Oh, okay, you're an actor. You're Hollywood. You know?
Like, you made one vine. You think you're an actor?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, I really love entertaining people and being an actor. And right now in my career, I feel like I'm a student, and I love the title of just considering myself a student of the game. I just been learning, taking classes, and learning while I'm on set, and watching other actors who I grew up watching on TV in front of my face, and just learning, bro. Like,
right.
I hope that answered the question.
You can feel free to answer it however you would like. However you would like, it's all good. So are you and your brother the only like creative members of your family? Like, your parents not creative, like, or like your other siblings, or is it just like you two who are the ones who are like making the music videos and like acting and doing all this and being on sets?
Oh man, that's a great question. I think so.
Yeah.
I believe it's just me and my older brother. I have another cousin who's in the music industry, but he's like a tour manager.
Oh, that's cool.
So I would say, my brother did tell me. I don't really know who my dad is.
Yeah.
He wasn't around, but my brother did say that he was kind of like an artist.
Hmm.
And he said when I was young, I was like 1 year old, and I hit the drums and make beats.
There you go.
And I guess like it was just something that was always inside of me.
Yeah.
And I probably got it from my dad. I don't know. Haven't sit and talked to him about it.
Yeah. That's real. I feel it's funny when like you do something creative in your like adult life or like young adult life, and then everyone kind of tells you about that one memory they had of you when you were just doing like playing the drums or something. Like my thing, like same thing. Like, so I was born in Minnesota. Like I spent all my summers there.
Yeah,
and stuff,
you told me.
Yeah, but mostly I was raised in Arizona. But so I didn't see like that much. Like that's my dad's side of the family. So same thing. I didn't see him like that often or anything. But I had an uncle who lived in Minneapolis, and like occasionally, me and like my brother would stay with him.
Okay,
and when I was like really, really young, and I was maybe like five or something, and I put on like a play for them, I guess, like for my uncle and my aunt. And I don't remember this, but it was very like child, like set up the pillows and here's this curtain and I'm going to like come out and act and sing or whatever. No memory of this at all. Like,
yeah.
No memory. But every time I'm in Minnesota, like with my uncle, he's like always telling me the story about how I put on this play. And I was just like one of those things where you're just like, I guess I was just being creative or same thing where it's like, I was at my grandma's house and like, far like North Minnesota, and she like brought out this old like creative like story that I wrote, I guess, when I was like six or something. And same thing, I can like barely read this, but she like kept it, and like I don't know, I got like sentimental about it, because it's like now seeing it come all the way around where I'm actually like in LA like pursuing this thing, like writing, like making pocket newsletter, doing all these things, and just to sort of see like even at six I was like the ogre walked up the mountain, you know what I mean?
You're just telling yourself
a story. You're just like always being creative like for yourself, and it's just sort of like I don't know. It's nice to see, because like I feel like we get dissuaded from the things that we do as children.
Yeah, we do.
100%. Or it's just like my grandma even says this thing. She's like, "What you do as a child is like what you'll do like as an adult." It's like my dad always played in the dirt. Now he was like a construction worker and all this stuff. And so it's like my thing. I was always like writing, like putting on these little like fake plays for my family. But then it's only like, then you get into like junior high and high school and like college, and like no one else is really doing that. So you're kind of like, gotta be like someone
Everybody
else now.
Right,
Yeah.
They're gonna 100%. Talk about me, you know.
Yes,
that was
yes.
another big fear. It was the being vulnerable, And, you know, like, when you're a creative, like, you got to be vulnerable. And there's times where you're a creative and you got to be willing to embarrass yourself sometimes, you know? And I feel like those are things that we always think about, like, what others' opinions are. And that was a fear of mine that I had to overcome. I told myself I cannot allow others' opinions to affect what I am going to create and who I'm going to become, you know? And I feel like we constantly worry about that a lot when in reality, like, it doesn't really matter. As long as you create, like, that's all that matters. You're good. Just do it because that's inside of you. Create what's inside of you.
100%. You know? That's even again, to call back to Shyra's short, where she was like, just watching that, I was like, this is so, like, intimate.
Yeah, it was.
It's all about, like, heartbreak and, like, even some of the scenes where I was genuinely thinking, I was like, do I have it in myself to be this? If I was, like, flipped in her position, would I be, like, comfortable enough to be like, here's this, like, really, like sad, like, hard part of my life for 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Here are these strangers, and I'm going to sit in the front row and, like,
and just have people watch it.
Yeah. I was like, this is insane. Yeah. And also just so, like, inspiring. I told her, I was like, I'm going to steal all this shit. Like, I'm going to rent this place out. Like, I got to do it all. But I liked stuff like that because even same thing growing up in Arizona, like Minnesota, you just don't really see it as much. And then you come here and people are like, here's 20 minutes of my life and I'm going to be crying for 5 minutes of this whole thing. And it might make you feel uncomfortable, but that's just like me. And then even at the very end, she's like, how do you guys all feel about that? I was like, this is wild.
Yeah,
like, this is so wild that you're doing this and so like brave. And I just love stuff like that, honestly.
Me too, bro. That's art. That's what we do. You know, like, we create art. And I feel like our bodies, not talking.
You're good.
Our bodies are instruments, you know. We got to use them to tell stories, and like the way that she did it was another sign of being very vulnerable and showing her bravery and telling us, like you said, like a part of her life that was really dark, but she turned it into something that was bright, you know. She literally turned a negative situation into a positive situation that gathered people together to watch it on a big screen, you know. Like, to me, like, that's why I love what we do, because we can make anything a story,
right?
Good or bad, it doesn't matter what it is, we can make it a story. And she did it.
Yeah.
She did it.
Yeah. I feel like I love, like, it doesn't make me feel like guilty. I don't know if that's like the right word for it, but sometimes I love when you're like going through something in your life because you know, like, oh, this is gonna be so good
in
6 months or like a year from now when I can actually like look back at this. So like, whether it's like general like struggle, like financials, or like even like heartbreak, things like that, or just sort of like
heartbreak,
just going through anything, just and
we
then
talk
knowing
an hour
like,
about
writing,
heartbreaks.
we could.
Oh Lord,
we really could.
Oh man.
Off that, I was gonna say, what's like the most intimate you've been on screen?
Whew. Okay, that's a good question. Okay, I never did nothing like the Shire did. Right?
Yeah, no, she set the bar right now.
She set the bar high, my bar is kind of like, medium right there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll say the most thing I ever done intimate was probably just a kiss.
Yeah.
That's it, like a kiss with another actress.
What is that actually like? Is that weird? Is it like, I don't really know this. Like, is it like, glad I've never kissed anyone like on screen like that. Like, are you actually like in character? Or are you like, I guess I just gotta kiss a stranger right now and just like play it off? Because I'm not an actor, I don't know like how it goes.
The first time I had a script and I had to kiss a female, it got taken out.
Okay.
I respect the female for what she said. She just felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, let's take it out then. We can do something else and work around it. And that's what we did. We worked around it. The second time when I got a script and I had to kiss a female, I was in character. And it was actually a funny scenario where it was just like a female character where my character had a crush on her at a young age, but I run into her at a party at an older age. But her boyfriend's there. But it's a bucket list that me and my friends made in fifth grade when I had a crush on her, and I had to check that off. You know, I was kiss her.
Yeah.
And I was in character. And one thing I do before the kissing scene is talk to the female, see what she's comfortable with, and make sure that I'm good too, because a lot's going in my mind when it's a kissing scene. I'll be like stressing out, like, fuck, should I kiss her this way? Should I kiss her that way? Should I hold her head?
You're like, have I ever kissed anyone ever before?
I know, how does this work? You forget how to kiss.
Yeah.
I forgot how to kiss, man.
Right. You're like, your eyes are open.
You know, and nah, I talked to her and We had to do it a couple times because I messed up. But hey, you know,
got messed up.
No, I messed up.
Yeah,
not safe. Nah, man, it was funny because her boyfriend was watching while I kissed her. So it was just super awkward. So I just used the nervousness I already had and put it into my character and then made that scene even more better because her eyes were open because she was shocked. She was like,
right.
Like that.
Yeah.
And then I'm over here, like, madly in love with her. And, but yeah, that's how that scene went. And that's probably the most intimate. I don't think I've done anything else like that. I mean, nah, I don't think so.
Yeah. Was her boyfriend also like acting in the production, or he was like just off screen? Just like
he was an actor in the scene.
Okay.
After that, I got thrown into the pool.
You got thrown into the pool.
Yeah, oh, it was in the scene.
From the show. Oh, because you kissed her and then he threw you in the pool or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Word.
Yeah.
Word. What are you working on right now? Like, what's like your most like recent project? Like, what are you actually like, or the projects you are working on? It could be anything.
Okay. I'm actually working on 3 projects currently. Mm-hmm. So I'm in a point in my life where instead of waiting on an opportunity, I'm creating an opportunity. Kind of like what you do. You write, direct.
Yeah.
I'm writing comedy shorts.
Okay.
And I'm also helping out my cousin who is making like a dramedy series for the internet.
Yeah.
And then also I'm working on another project with a homie that we're doing like a YouTube parody.
Okay.
But for the main one that I'm mainly focused on is the one that I wrote, and that's a comedy short. I want to start writing comedy shorts like kind of like in the same avenue as Marlon Wayans. When he was young, he used to make comedy films. Mm-hmm. I want to start off with short films and then branch out to continue to make more. That's where I want to do. I feel like ever since I got into the industry, I've been doing only drama.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do comedy. Comedy is my strength. Comedy is my main thing. I love making people laugh, man. And I want to continue to do that for as long as possible, you know. But yeah, I'm currently working on a film called Irresponsible. And I'm in the process of finding the funds for the film. So if anybody out there know how to get some money for a film, let me know. Hit me up.
That's the Hollywood dilemma.
Yeah, hit me up because I need help with that. And it's going to be a funny film. It's about basically a dad who is irresponsible and not in his kid's life. But over time, like, he learns how to grow up and become a dad. So,
but it's a comedy.
It's a comedy, yeah.
What draws you to comedy? So, like, you love making people laugh, but like, were you ask people this too? Like, were you like a class clown? Were you like the funniest one of like your friend group, or you're just from stuff you just watch on TV? You're like, I just need to want people to feel like that, like when you're making something.
So one of my first memories with my family was I used to sit at a smaller table from everyone else. I had an older brother 7 years older than me, my mom and my dad. So it was all in the kitchen and I was sitting at a small table. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I did, but I just remember I said something or did something during dinner time and I looked at my mom, dad, and brother and they're all cracking up laughing. And that was like one of my first memories of the whole family together was them bawling out laughing, like tears coming down. And then to fast forward, I was a class clown. Yeah. Man,
that's how you failed the communications class.
Yeah, bro. Don't do this, young kids or anyone in school. Take school seriously and learn. I talked at the wrong times and in class. And I just really just cared about entertaining people. It was times where I went to school and just like, I just wanted to make people laugh. Like, didn't really care about taking notes and all that, which is really bad. I wish I could go back and like tell myself, like, hey, man, focus, man. Learn as much as you can because the real world, it gets real. But yeah, I got in trouble a lot for talking. And a lot of phone calls to my mom and a lot of butt whoopings.
Right.
Because I was not paying attention in class or I was talking when I wasn't supposed to.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
That's definitely been there. Same thing. When I was younger, I got like, mine was like elementary school. I don't know why, but like, I got in trouble in elementary school, like, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I shut the door on this kid once, like in his face, like hit him in the face.
Oh man, I think I did like, something like that.
It was crazy. I remember once I was like, we were playing kickball, and I was pitching or something, like with the ball, like as a kid. And, like the girl, it like wasn't the girl's turn, and we got in this argument, and I think I like threw the ball at her face.
Oh man!
And then, because I was like, move!
Yeah,
and
then
I just like chucked it at her, and she didn't move, and it hit her right
in
her
face.
And her nose started bleeding.
No!
And then I know. And then they were like, Solomon, like, come on. And I was just like, I was like, she just had to move. Like,
right.
100%. Like,
she could have ducked.
Yeah, like, just move. Like, be an athlete. Make a move. Come on, it's kickball.
You could dodge a wrench. You could dodge a ball.
100%. 100%. But yeah, just getting in trouble in school like all the time, or even, but even like kind of like when I got older, like in like junior high, I wasn't like, I just didn't get in trouble that much, or even in high school, mm-hmm. I kind of just like was minding my own business. Like I played sports and stuff. Like I played football, I played basketball, like ran track.
Yeah.
But even like after that, it was funny because like in hindsight, like looking back, like I feel like I just did all those. Like I love basketball for sure, but yeah. Like my sophomore year, I just started to play football instead. I was going through like a bad time with like the basketball team. I was just checked out of it. Like, mentally. I was just like, I'm not here.
What position
like,
you play?
Because I was young. I've been, like, the same height since I was, like, 14. So I was, like, a power forward. So I was, like, a power forward at, like, high school. So
yeah, you're, like, 6'4", 6'3", right?
That's crazy. No.
I did look up when I walked in. And I was like, dang, Solomon taller than I thought he was.
No. I'm only, like, 6 foot, maybe 6'1", like, a real good day. But,
6 foot?
Yeah.
Ain't no way. You're, like, 6'2".
Well, I appreciate that. I'm going to start telling people that. I'm 6'2". Next to be asked.
Yeah. Tell everybody. Solomon 6'2", y'all.
6'2". Maybe even 6'3". Who knows?
He's 6'3.5". I don't know. That's kind of hot.
But, I was just going through like a whole thing with this basketball team. So I started playing football, and I had no business playing football. I'm not like.
What was your position in football?
I was a wide receiver.
I was a wide receiver.
It was trash. I couldn't really catch. Like, I couldn't really, like, see. It's like, you know how hard it is playing right wide receiver and then finding out you needed glasses, like, 2 years later for, like, your whole life?
Oh, man, yeah. I never had 20/20.
Those are things where it's like, those are the type of excuses that are, like, real, but, like, people are just going to, like, make fun of you for.
Yeah,
like, bro, you literally can't see. They're like, you're literally playing football.
They called you Butterfingers, huh?
Bro, come on.
They called you everything.
Come on. Everything was coming into my chest, for sure.
Because
I was a good athlete, but I was just like, I'd never played football. And that's one of those things where it's like, in hindsight, I was like, why was I playing football? Like, I didn't even like football. Like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, I think I was just playing football because, like, my friends were playing football.
Okay.
But even, like, that's one of those things where, looking back, it's like, man, I wish I had spent more of that time just, like, writing or just, like, being creative.
Yeah.
But that's something that was so kind of, like, inside me still, where it's, like, I would be at football practice and I'd get home and then maybe I'd, like, write
Start
some,
writing,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, but just, like, and, like, lock it in the vault. You know what I mean?
Yep,
like, I'm,
yep.
like, this football player or whatever. But, I don't know. So that was my experience. And then, moving into college, that's when I kind of started to embrace it more because I graduated high school in Arizona, and then I went out of state,
mm-hmm.
and then it was just easier because I was like, that was like a really big deal for me just because like I didn't want to like know anyone that I went to school with, you know what I mean?
For
whatever reason, and then that was easier because it was just like, all right, well, now I'm in this new place with new people, like very college like cliche of like, now I can join this like writing club and make this little like short and like be, it was just easier. You
yeah,
know what I mean? It was
way
just easier.
Easier.
For me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What I was going to say, so do you, so you still like identify as like an athlete because you still play basketball and stuff like that? Those things like base off each other? Because I feel like a lot of, this has like been a problem that I've been not running into, but something I've been noticing is like, I've been trying to like train writing the way like I used to for like football practice or something.
Okay.
Or like basketball practice. Where it's like, if I did this for basketball, like 2 hours every day, you do this and this, and that's what I started to do for writing. And then, so it got to the point where I would just be like, get home, from like work, whatever it is, mm-hmm. and be like, okay, I needed to write these 3 pages, and I do it. But then I recently just felt like it's like burned out.
It's a burnout feeling, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, maybe art or like writing scripts isn't as like transferable to like sports as like I thought it was. Like, there's definitely like an intersect for sure, like a Venn diagram, but just like forcing yourself to like try and go like 100% every day. For me, I was like, bro, I'm like burned out. I need to like find a new way to do this. Like, so for you, so like, what's your acting like strategy or method to like not get burned out? Like, do you get burned out? Are you ever like, man, I'm like working too much? Or are you just saying like yes to everything? Are you like, how do you like, I don't know, how do you take like,
this is a good question.
How do you take like self-care when you're acting, you're trying to improve but also not trying to like, you know, fully burn out?
I'm gonna try to answer all these questions because these are awesome. All
right, yeah, that's like six of them.
Some
you got
great
them.
Questions. Yeah.
Okay, yeah,
so the first one you asked, do I still consider myself an athlete? Yes. That actually is like my therapy now. To like get away from acting. One of the best advice I got recently, say 2-3 years ago, is to have a life outside of acting.
Yeah.
Because I was like 100% fully into it, you know, where that's the only thing I did. I would watch films, I would study my lines, I would be on set, you know.
Yeah.
And I did get drained. There's a couple times I've been drained.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning now as I get older how to rest, because mm-hmm. resting is a part of the journey. When you rest, it's a part of success,
because mm-hmm.
you're not going to be 100% all the time. Most of the time, you're just doing it because you're disciplined, mm-hmm. and you don't want to do it, but you're just doing it because you're disciplined. And to tie into what you're writing, there's a basketball drill where instead of like starting out at the 3-point line, like with writing and shooting like threes and or writing three pages a day.
Yeah.
Start up close. It was a basketball drill where I started up close in front of the hoop and I just made 5-10 shots in a row.
Right.
That's it. But I was right in front of the rim. So right. With writing, just write like a paragraph or write a sentence. At least you wrote. You
right.
know?
Right, right, right.
It's better than not writing. And it's if you make at least 1% progress a day, it's better than making 0% progress. Because at the end of the day, I mean, at the end of the year, if you make 1% progress each day, that's 365 days of progress, bro. And you don't always have to be at 100%.
Yeah.
Sometimes your 100% is 30%. Sometimes your 100% is 25%.
Yeah.
But that's still 100% because you gave that 25% that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all you had. And mm-hmm. then if you stop after that 25% that you gave, it's okay. Go rest.
Yeah.
Go do something else.
Yeah.
Pat yourself on the chest.
Mm-hmm.
You did it, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Those are things I've been learning along this journey because just like you, I went through it as well. And it was very tough at first and I didn't know how to overcome it, you know? Sometimes in this career, because we're doing something that's so unpredictable, we don't know how to get through it. Sometimes I'd be like, I wish I had a mentor. I wish I had someone who has done this before me.
Like a cheat code.
Yeah, a cheat code to help me. And most of the times you don't have that. You don't have that help. And you got to figure it out on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the toughest part on this journey is to go through something that's very tough, especially like when you're drained. Like when I was drained, man, I don't know how I got through it. There was times where I would be driving and I had to pull over and take a nap in a neighborhood in the back of my car because I just couldn't mentally make it to the next destination. You know, like times like that is where I really like just cry out and I'm like, dang, I wish someone can teach me right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just learning from my mistakes and making progress along the journey on how to continue to navigate through this journey and enjoy it. Don't forget to enjoy it.
Yeah, like, right.
Like you, this we're making your show right now. This is your show.
Yeah,
you know, like
we got Joe over there.
We got Joe in the back chilling. What's up, my homie Joe? You know, like this is something that you should be really like proud of and happy about. Like that you are doing. You're applying action right now. You know, some people to talk about it, but they never do anything, and you're doing it. So those are things to always try to remember and tell yourself. And that's some things I tell myself. Like, oh. Man, I just worked on set this week, you know?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes we're really hard on ourselves as creators, and you got to sit back and then, like, really think about it, process everything that we've done, and be proud, because a lot of people won't do this. It's very risky. It's very scary.
Right.
Nothing's guaranteed.
100%. 100%. Yeah. I think two things from that. One, hopefully I don't forget the second thing.
I was going to go ahead. Yeah.
The first thing is, like, same thing. I remember, so, like, I was, maybe it was, like, I don't know, like, a year and a half ago now. Like, I was, like, I had, like, moved out. I went to L.A., like, COVID happened, I left again, did all this thing, and I was back like in my mom's house, and like I was like going through it, like it was like not good, like
I was like this is bad,
this is like not fun, you know what I mean? But it was still just like you kind of get addicted to that because you want this one thing like so bad, and then so it's like I'm just writing all the time, reading scripts, like not hanging out with anyone.
Yeah,
I was just so like, if you are not like a writer or a creator, like I don't even want to talk to you. Like, you
I
know what I mean?
Tunnel vision.
And yeah, 100%, 100% tunnel vision. And then only kind of recently that I realized like how much that was actually like harming me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like to isolate yourself like that. Cause even there was a time where like my mom had to like sit me down and had like a real conversation where she was like, we were like in my room. She was like, this is like not you. She's like, I'm worried for you, this whole thing. And that's one of those things, like usually like me and my mom are like, we're cool, but for her to actually like sit me down and be like, yo, you need to like,
that's real,
take a breath and like figure this out. Because she was like, if this is all you're chasing, like, so she's like, if this is all you're chasing and your mood is only based off like this one thing and how good it goes, like up or down, she's like, you'll never be happy because what you're chasing is so like unpredictable.
Yes.
And I was like,
yes,
damn mom, that's a bar.
Like, yeah, bro, you gotta like be happy now.
Yeah,
where
100%,
you at now?
100%. And then so only same thing, kind of like recently have I been having to like say yes to more things and not feel like I'm like sacrificing, like not feel like I'm sacrificing like my entire career because I'm like hanging out with people like one time, you know what I mean? Because I'm like going to the movies, it's like it'll be okay. Or same thing where it's like I'll write for whatever 5 days in a row and then I take like a 1 day off or something, and then in that day I have to like tell myself, okay, no, you were just working like the last like 5 days, like take a breath right now.
It'll be okay. Take that 6 day off.
Yeah, like your whole world won't like just fall apart. Like
yeah,
it'll be all right. And like that's part of it too, for sure. Just I don't know, just trying to make it happen without any guidance, because you don't really know like how hard should I be going? Like, do I need to be doing like a lot more? And like, that's something that used to like haunt me all the time of like, am I doing enough? Like, I need to go way harder. Like, is this enough? Is this enough? As I'm like dying.
I know. Like, you slowly are like dying inside. Yeah. And we got to remember too, like, just because we take a day off or just because we are like, let's say we go to a carnival, nothing's wrong with that. Like, we're still creators at the end of the day. Like, our creativity will never leave us. And honestly, you might get inspired at the carnival. Right. You might see a clown do a spin or Rooney on top of a lion and be like, wow,
yeah,
I'm going to write me a story called
Spin-a-Rooney.
The Spin-a-Rooney. Or what's it called when clowns and lions? Circus. You know, something like that. You know, like, you can still get inspired. I feel like our minds, our creative minds are always working. And I feel like you can still get inspired even if you're not being creative. Like, no, writing all the time or directing all the time or working all the time, you know.
Right.
Like, you can get inspired by going on walks. Sometimes going on walks, like, things come to you, you know. I call those artist dates.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
It was like a book called The Artist's Way that I read. And one of the most, I can't even think of the word because the vocabulary is like, phenomenal books I read recently is The Artist's Way. You should check it out because it helps you with all those things, like all these steps that we take as creators, you know. And it basically talks about my own personal life. I feel like, dang, like, does he know like what I'm going through right now? Yeah, like, it's a great book. And one of the chapters in the book is called The Artist Date. And it's okay to take an artist date, you know, here and there. So,
like a DIY or like dates?
Date.
Like date, take an artist date.
Yeah, artist date.
Because sure. That's true. Because, like, that's 100% true. Because you feel so refreshed in that moment. And you kind of forget. This is something you read, like, in writing, too, where it's like, life is at the center and then art's on the outside. Yeah. Even if it doesn't really feel like that, it's like, like you said, like, your interactions with other people or like going on these walks or like if you go to a circus, like, that's what's going to come back and like feed you to then retranslate that into like whatever your art is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you kind of have to do that stuff. Like, there's only going to be so much you can write about if you just like sit in your room for a year straight and just don't talk to anyone.
Exactly.
Like, and it's just like, what's it called when it's like when you're what you're gaining is always like negative. It's like such an R.
You know?
Recurring gains.
He's not focused. Yeah, he's not.
I don't know. But anyway, it's just about the fact that, like, moving on. I kind of lost my train of thought.
No, you good, bro.
I kind of lost my train of thought.
We was talking about just basically like always working and being drained out from always working. It's like, it's okay to not work sometimes. It's okay to have a day off where you're sitting on the couch and watching TV or watching the movies all day. You know. So.
Right, and having to tell yourself that.
Yeah.
I feel like even. Yeah, even now, like, when I'm like doing stuff like this podcast or like going to that premiere, like stuff like that is so, it's still so like inspiring, but it's one of those things where it's like, it's I just like getting like pushed like that, you know what I mean? Like, you see something like this and you're like, oh man, like, now, like, I need to do that, or like, now I need to like try and do my version of that and try and level up. And seeing stuff like that is so exciting. You have to remind yourself, like, okay, like, I'm gonna do that, like, I can do that.
Yeah,
it might not happen before 3 o'clock today. Like, right. Like, that's okay. Like, it might take actual like time. And one thing I want to say too is, like, I feel like everyone kind of has to be like this in a sense, but I'm like very confident. Like, I like to believe that's gonna happen, you know what I mean? Like,
the
things that I want are gonna happen. But so
keep that faith alive, man.
And so keep the hope alive. That's what I'm saying. Like, I have like full faith. So then it's like, okay, if I have full faith in myself, like, why am I so concerned about the way that, like, the path looks? You know what I mean?
I think most of it is us trying to control the uncontrollable. Some things are out of our controls. And I feel like things don't always go the way that we want them to go, but they always work out better than what we planned. And I truly believe that's all God is working and timing. You know, like, things are going to happen when God wants them to happen. And that's one thing I remind myself as well. It's like, yo, I got to step back sometimes and be like, I can't control this situation. I need to stop worrying about it. And I'm just going to let it happen the way it's supposed to happen. Like, when I don't get a job, I'll be like, all right, it wasn't meant for me to get that job. Whoever actor booked that role, it was meant for them. It was their time. Yeah. And I celebrate their wins. And I celebrate that. Those times, because I know that each no that I get or each opportunity that doesn't fall into play is going to lead closer and closer to that yes. It's going to lead closer and closer to the opportunity that does eventually happen.
Right.
So most of it is like, I feel like we're always trying to control our reality way too much, where we just got to like let go and release. and then just let it happen. And that's how things, I feel like, happen naturally, and they just flow like water. Waves.
That was good. That was a good, like, ASMR clip. That was good.
It was like an ASMR.
But yeah.
Yeah, tonight we are going to talk about practicing the artist states. And then we want you to close your eyes and really, like, imagine yourself working that dream job. You know, that's what they sounded like.
Yeah. Or they do this thing where they're just, like, cracking, like, carrots in their, like, mic. I'm like, what is this? Do you use an ASMR?
It pops up on my TikTok timeline, so yeah. I be like listening, I be tuning in for like 5 seconds, and I get out the live, and then go back to watching funny TikTok.
I like some. I don't know if it's like, I don't know. I like some of it, but it's just like, I'm not gonna listen to someone like eating mashed potatoes for like 30 minutes. Like, no. I'm cool on that. Yeah, it's like, that's good.
I didn't talk about this. I'm really big into meditation and silence. And I do listen to meditation music. That's the closest thing to it, right. You know, where I just turn on meditation music, or I start my day off, or just sitting in silence, not touching no phone, no work for like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. 10 minutes, you know, just to have a clear mind and then have peace going into the day. Because in L.A., you never know what you're going to face. You never know what you're going to go through. You never know what you're going to see. Mm-hmm. So that peace and that meditation in the morning, like, helps me get through the day.
Yeah, you definitely don't know what you're going to see. I feel like having the morning routine is so important. Like, I feel like the routine of, like, waking up and getting ready just to go to, like, whatever, like a day job is kind of, like, negative, only in the sense of, like you still have to go to your job, whatever. But it's, like, I think it's really important to, like, create at least, like you said, like, 10 minutes just for yourself in the morning. So you're not, like, so your morning's not just, like, 100% dominated by the thought of, I need to go to work, I need to get ready for work. Where it's, like, you have those 10 minutes to meditate or do, like, whatever, 25 push-ups and 25 sit-ups, or just something for yourself, so it's not just like I'm putting on my pants for my boss right now. You know what I mean? Like,
I
just
know,
do something for yourself at least in the morning.
That's, like, that's self-love, that's self-respect. You're building your self-esteem when you do stuff like that.
1,000%. Yeah. Also, I think we're winding a little bit down. That's me off mic.
Okay.
Got like.
Oh, we got six time minus Mayan.
Six minutes. Time minus. All right. Let's. Then I gotta ask you this before we tell me. So you were a background actor in Space Jam 2. Tell me the story. How did this happen? How nice is Klay Thompson? What is he? Is he mean? Like, what's happened? I did a little stalking. I just did a little
like
bit
that.
Of.
I like that. I had to figure it out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay. So that was the first time I got booked on Space Jam 2. And you know what's funny? The scene I did with Klay Thompson didn't even make the movie. And what's another crazy thing about this story? This is back in 2019. So I booked that in 2019. Mm-hmm. And this is literally, I would say, 2 weeks after the Warriors played Toronto Raptors and lost to the Toronto Raptors in the finals.
Yeah, shout out to Kawhi.
Yeah, Kawhi went crazy. Hey, Kawhi. Anyway.
That was good.
Yeah, I tried. But Klay Thompson got injured in that finals. Klay Thompson, I have so much respect for Klay Thompson after seeing this, and I love his heart. He pulled up to set in crutches. He was hopping onto set. And when it was time for us to film, he let go of the crutches. I think he took off his boot, and then he stood in the scene to perform. And I was just watching him. I was like, yo, I just seen this man injure himself.
Yeah.
You know, in the NBA Finals. And then to see him in person and to be working with Klay Thompson, I was like, blown away. But I every time I work with someone who I really inspire or who really motivates me in life, my eyes be like this. I be feeling like this, but inside I gotta like okay, like when I seen The Rock, I was like, because I grew up watching The Rock, and I'm like, what the fuck, I'm working with The Rock right now. Like, what? That's The Rock. Can you smell what The Rock is cooking? Yes, because he's right there.
That's good. Yeah.
No, back to Klay Thompson. Yes, I will literally see him take off his crutches and go do the scene, perform. Like, just seeing that was amazing. And then at the end, as you saw, he took photos with all of us. Mm-hmm. But that scene didn't make them film. And then, randomly, because they had a reshoot, I got booked for Space Jam 2 again. And this was after the pandemic. So it was a tough year for everyone. You know, everybody went through it. I didn't get much work. But I ended that year off with Space Jam 2. And I got booked as a hand double for LeBron James' son in a film. And my hand is actually made a movie. No
Wait,
one
for
knows.
Real?
Yes,
for real?
My hand made the movie. So it wasn't LeBron. So it was a scene where LeBron James went face to face with his youngest son.
Yeah.
And it was like the main match, the main game.
Yeah.
His middle son had a phone to show his family that game that popped up on the phone. Mm-hmm. That wasn't his hand. That was my hand. I did that scene.
That's crazy. That's incredible. Yeah. That's so sweet.
That was a dope day because I was like, I remember I pulled up. This is during COVID. So they gave everybody trailers. Mm-hmm. I had my own trailer. And on my like couch area inside my trailer, they gave me a call sheet. And I'm looking at the call sheet. I'm like, all right. LeBron James. Oh, LeBron James.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, I'm working with LeBron James. Like, as a basketball hooper growing up, him, Kobe, Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade, all these people I looked up to, I watched them to, like, you know, learn some new moves, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And they motivated me. I wanted to be where they was at in the NBA. But the fact that I was like, yo, I'm working with LeBron James. That's the one thing I love about this industry. You always have new adventures. You don't know where you're going to work. You're always working in new locations. You're always working with different people. You always encounter with so many different people. But you guys are all similar in a way because you're all creative. You come together with strangers to create a film project, and every role is important. It doesn't matter what role it is. Every role is important. That's another reason why I love it because it's a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I was on LeBron James' team, that's how I was looking at it. I was on LeBron James' team to complete Space Jam 2.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I got close to him. I got close to LeBron James on Space Jam 2, but it was during COVID. So in the back of my mind, you know, we always got that negative voice.
Yeah.
It talks about the negative voices in artist's way. So get that book. It talks about those negative voices that talk us out of being creative or doing something that we think is creative, you know? Yeah, I'm looking at LeBron. He looks at me. I'm like, I got a mad son. I'm like, I should go talk to him. But it's COVID. I don't want to get him sick.
Because
that's when I think they was going to the playoffs, or it was after the playoffs. I don't know. It was 2020.
So they were like, maybe. That's the year they won, right?
That's the year they won.
Yeah.
They just won. They just won.
It was after. Oops, yeah.
Sorry, Mike. They just won, and it was after they won a championship. But I wanted to talk to LeBron so bad. I pulled back because the negative voices was telling me, don't do it.
Bro.
I know.
When are you ever going to see LeBron again?
I know, bro. I will never forget that day. I left set so devastated because I was in the shuttle bus and I was like, dang.
Right.
That was a wasted opportunity.
Right. What would you have said?
I would have walked up to LeBron and I would tell LeBron, like, this is the question I always want to ask LeBron James. It's the only question I want to ask him. I was going to ask him, how do you deal with distractions? Because at that time, I was dealing with a lot of distractions. And we still do as artists. We deal with distractions that distract us from being creative sometimes, you know. And that was a question I wanted to ask LeBron. Like, how do you deal with distractions? Him and Drake. Those two people I want to ask that question to when I first meet them.
Mm-hmm.
But I held back. And at least I was there. I wanted a photo to him. They get the photo. But next time, when I see LeBron, I'm going to go up and I'm going to talk to him. And I'm going to tell him that story, and then that's going to lead to us having a good conversation.
That's real. Yeah. Look, now it's in the universe.
Speaking
of
this,
I feel like...
it's in works.
There you go. Perfect. I feel like... I'm assuming you didn't, but it would have been sick if you got credited, like Darren Barber, LeBron James' hands. Like,
yeah, that would have been sick. Yeah, it was his middle son's hand.
His middle son, Bryce? Bronny?
Yeah.
Bryce?
You know what? I know a secret on IMDb Pro where I could get credited for it on IMDb Pro, like hand double, you know?
I mean,
I think, Space Jam 2 was denying people, though, that credit, because a lot of people worked that show for a long time, a lot of background did,
right?
And I think they wasn't getting credit, so I was like, let me step back.
How many videos did you take in your trailer? Like, how much flexing did you do when you're like, this is my name, that's LeBron's name, I'm in this trailer,
man? I think when I walked in, I took a photo. I was just so happy. I walked in, took a photo. I think I got a photo of the door.
Yeah.
I think I got a photo of the actual sheet. I didn't post it because it was like the call time and it was like the lines and all that. I didn't post that. Those things I don't post. I took a lot of photos, bro. This is memories. I'm going to share this, and I hope this inspires people when they see it.
100%. So. That's real. Well, I feel like we're winding down pretty much a little bit towards the end here. Mike, one of my closing questions for you. Wait, how old are you?
I'm 26.
You're 26. I don't know. Like, usually actors don't like when I ask people that.
No, that's all good. I don't mind.
26. What would you tell yourself at 18?
I would tell myself to stick with it. No matter what you do in life, if you truly believe that it can happen, stick with it, because you'll figure it out along the way. So stick with it, young Darren, 18-year-old who is struggling right now in college.
Right.
Because it will get better.
Yeah.
It will get better.
Yeah. It's always hard to believe, but it's like once you look back, you're like, oh, I took that step and that step and that step, and now mm-hmm. it's all.
They all connect. All the dots connect. The pieces connect. And then at the end of your journey on this world, like, your puzzle is finally complete, and that's your story. Everybody has a story. That's one thing I love about life. When you walk past everyone, they all have a story to where they got to right now in life, you know.
100%. And you don't know where they're going to go next or where they came from, the whole thing.
No one knows.
Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Other question. This will probably actually be the final little question. Just any closing thoughts you have about the episode, any closing thoughts, any piece of advice, whatever you want to close the episode with.
Man, keep doing what you're doing. Like, this is going to, I hope this blows up. This is going to be big, man. I love this room. It's good vibes in this room. I'm looking at this YouTube plate right here. I don't know who won it, but that's so sick, bro.
That is sick. That's the first one I've ever seen, like, actually in person.
Yo, same.
Like, oh, that's like a real, like, thing.
Yo, I normally just see people post their photos of it, you know, when they blow up on YouTube and they post the photos. But to see that and to just walk in this room, see the setup, man, got the camera set up, the mic set up, like you're doing your thing, bro. So.
That's all them. I just show up and talk. That's all them.
Shout out to you for setting it up, bro. Like this is like really dope for real. Like I want to thank you for making the show so that artists like me can get their stories out, because like I said, like we all have stories, and I feel like everyone's story deserves some like shine, some light, some camera time, because we never know what a part of your story can do for someone else. Because like I said, there's times along this journey when we don't know what to do next. And if they see something in the story that they're going through right now in their life, and they saw that I did that to overcome it, it can help them overcome that. Right. So the fact that you're putting this on for us artists and getting our like creative like art out there, it's so dope, bro. Like, and it's gonna come back to you. When you put good energy out to the world, it always comes back to you. So keep doing what you're doing, and I hope a lot of people check you out, and I hope you get your heart desires, bro. I don't know what it's gonna lead to. You might have your own show, the Solomon Show. I don't know.
That's
bro.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to. I got a lot of things in the works, but I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. Thank you. I feel like I've got a lot of ideas, like for the show, like things that I want to do for it eventually. Yeah. But one of them is like, well, I just love talking to a bunch of different actors, because like part of it is like, this is free game, I guess. Not really, but I was like doing the episodes in season one, and then whenever like season three is or whatever that is, just do like a 2 years later, like what's happened in your career, like let's like, talk again, let's see like what it is, like what's going on, like what other challenges you overcome, you know what I mean? Just like doing little checkups, because that's what it is. I feel like everyone like is always usually on the rise, you know what I mean? And that's even like what we talked about in the beginning, where it's like that first initial commitment is usually like the hardest part, that first like mental like, this is, I am a writer, I am an actor, this is what I'm gonna do. And same thing, so I made it for like, I don't know, kind of like kids like myself or kids like yourself who are like in like Minnesota, Arizona, who are kind of like want to be creative, maybe no one in their family's creative, and they're like, well, I'm talking to, you know, actors who are doing it, who are in Space Jam too, you know what I mean?
Right,
and it's nice, because it's like sometimes it's nice not to get all the advice you hear only from like Jordan Peele or like Quentin Tarantino, where it's like they're already at such like a level where it's like they're gonna give you something that's maybe like broadly helpful, but I think you need to actually see someone who's like working their way like all the way, and that's, I think that's way more helpful, honestly.
That's facts, bro. And going back to another thing that popped up is like a lot of people doubting you and telling you no. Like I go back to time when I made that push to LA, made that leap of faith out here, and I had a boss tell me, oh, you're only going to be out there 6 months. I had people tell me not to do it. You know, like, that's another fear that people have to overcome. But like you said, like, you just got to commit to it. Just do it. Like Nike. Like, for real, just do it, guys.
Right. This is one of the last thoughts. Don't you feel like that's actually, like, part of, like the rite of passage, though? Well, someone telling you, like, you're only going to do, like, last, like, 6 months. I think that's part of, like, what makes it so fun.
Cause,
like,
yeah.
Like, having someone actually tell you, like, you can't do it, even as, like, cliche and corny as it is, it's so, like, I'm like, bro, you are a manager at this Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, leave me,
I know,
and you're like 55. Like, leave me alone.
I was a janitor at the time, too. Yeah, I was a janitor at the time. But no, like, I just use that as fuel. You know, like, I turn those negative conversations or turn those negative times in my life mm-hmm. as positive fuels. I kind of like to give it like a visual perspective. It's like when you go camping and you have wood and the wood's running out, the fire is going low because the wood is not burning the fire. But I use that, I throw those negativities on top of the wood,
right.
and then the fire goes up higher again. So that's right. how I do it with my life.
That's real. One of the piece of advice that I had an actress on talking about, she said, which I thought was actually super good. She was like, you can't let anyone judge you of the risk you're taking if they weren't brave enough to take, if they're not going to be brave enough to take those risks themselves. And that's what I'm like, exactly. That's a dime. I was like, that's so good. I know, once you said that, I was like, all right, I got to stop it. That's like the clip. That's the whole thing. It was legit. It was, that's so good.
That's a great quote. Shout out to whoever that was.
That was Fanny. Her episode's going to be coming out too. Make sure you go watch that episode too.
Hey, go check out Fanny's episode after this one, guys.
That's real.
Hey, that sounds like some great wisdom right there.
It was fantastic. Well, Darren, Barber, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on Uncredited. Again, my name is Solomon Lovejoy. We have new episodes of Uncredited coming out every Thursday. I'll link all of Darren's stuff so you can go check him out. Check out all his work. Go see his hand in Space Jam 2. And Joel, thank you very much for doing what you're doing. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. And keep believing in yourself. Hopefully, this inspires you to go after what you love doing. And don't give up. They'll never give up.
Boom. There we go.